if you had one thing that you could give to your kids, if you have kids, what would that one thing be? I've thought a lot about this. I've heard stories about people that strive throughout their whole life to give their kids an inheritance of $1 million. That's a good goal to have, or maybe set them up in life so that they would have a house that they could call their own. Maybe 4 years worth of college, right? Giving them something that would benefit their life, something that would last them their whole life. It's something that I've given thought to. Remember that. Think about that. What would that one thing be? You know, when I first started attending church on my own, it was just my wife and I had this experience with tithe. It was a pretty profound experience. It left me very in awe of God and the miracles that he works in our lives, and in particular in my life and the experience that I went through. It was profound for me. This is a story from over 2 decades ago. I was with a couple individuals from work. One, the first guy, he had no understanding of tithe. He saw no benefit in it. He didn't want anything to do with it. He was very, very opposed to tithing. He saw it as a waste. He didn't see it as something that he should do, and he didn't see it as a benefit. Perhaps he's probably more like most of the population. The second individual was a little bit more surprising for me. As we discussed this, he said, it's a nice idea. And this was what you would call a modern day Christian. He goes to church every Sunday. He's a big part of his church. But he says, it's a nice idea, but it's not required. And he was almost opposed to the idea just because he viewed it as a legalistic view of the law. He did not see it as an obligation. He saw it as a part of legalism, and legalism is bad, is terrible. It was a little surprising to me. And I had had this great experience and wanted to share it, wanted to give this story, and it was wasted on these individuals. It was more surprising to me that the so-called Christian, the guy who goes to church every Sunday, was more against this than the guy who had never heard of it and just didn't like it. I mean, he saw it as of no value. But it is a great value. Tithing is a great value. I have a first tithe story. My wife and I, when we first started coming to church and keeping tithing as a couple and starting out our lives together as a married couple, that first tithe story, my first time ever tithing, you know, in earnest and seriously, was a great blessing. I have shared that in the past. I'm not going to share that now because this isn't a split sermon about tithing, although it does play into what I want to talk about. These two individuals that I spoke about that were against it, they had agreed amongst themselves that the money, especially as a young individual and a young married man, that that money would be better used to invest that, right? To have some kind of stock portfolio. I think the first guy, he was more like, well, look, I'll invest it for you. And he said that it would be a better return just to put it in lottery tickets. That was the investment he wanted to invest in. And I have an investment that I invest in, a deferred comp. It's basically a 401 for government employees. But I think it was almost 2 weeks ago, I got my statement in the mail. And you talk about a real loss. I mean, exactly what has happened to all those others who have invested in the stock market, seen the same thing, 30, 40% losses across the board. I'm heavily invested in stocks. I also have funds, so it also has some other things in there. But across the board, pretty much a loss. But I didn't open it and immediately go into panic mode or anxiety, get anxiety about it, because it's not my primary investment. It's not where I invest all of my being and all of who I am. Bad times come, just like bad times come now. And there are lost investments. But there's an investment that we make as Christians that is far more important. And it's not an investment like the world sees. It's an investment that we make in God. And we do that by paying tithes, by offerings. And it's not some intangible thing that the world puts out there and says, oh, well, you know, it's a feel-good feeling. No, it is a tangible investment. And better yet, it is an investment without risk. I mean, think of that. 4, 5, 6 months ago, my investments and most investments in the stock market were doing great. There was no risk. You could hardly go wrong. But those investments, after what we've seen in the last couple months, have really showed how much we were exposed to risk, those of us that invested. But we have an investment that doesn't have that risk, that isn't exposed to that risk. And what better thing do you look for when you're investing your money or making any type of investment, that investment is a safe bet, that it will continually grow and that it's not exposed to any risk at all? Well, we have that. We have that kind of investment. If we take a look at Matthew 6 and verse 19, we're told, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moths nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. We have this type of investment, and we are to be making that investment. Christ is warning us here not to put our faith in the physical things. He's telling us where to put our investment, that we have, as it says in verse 20, we have treasures in heaven. That's where we're supposed to be storing up these treasures, in heaven, and we're supposed to be making that investment. Let's take a look at Ezekiel 7. I have these glasses. They're great because they work really well for me. I can see really well now, but kind of struggle going back and forth. So, and you can tell that we've had quite a bit of sun here in California. You can tell that I've got a tan line. I did not know that until the camera came on. I was like, oh, quite a bit of sun this week. So anyways, Ezekiel 7. They will throw their silver in the street and their gold will be like refuse. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They will not satisfy their soul nor fill their stomachs because it became their stumbling block of iniquity. And that's what storing up treasure here on earth is. It's a stumbling block. Let's go ahead and continue in verse 20. As for the beauty of their ornaments, he set it in majesty, but they made from it the images of their abominations, their detestable things. Therefore, I have made it like refuse to them. God is telling us that storing up your gold and silver and your investments that the world places value in is not where we're to be placing all of our investments. It's not where we're supposed to be relying on. This gold that they threw in the streets is a verse that Bill Jones and I have discussed quite often. The gold and the silver is literal. I don't doubt that, but it's also figurative. I mean, you can create quite a pile of stocks and bonds in the streets that have become nothing, you know, or companies have failed and the value of those is next to nothing. Paper money as well. That's something that we've seen throughout history that mankind has pushed. Inflation has taken off and money has become almost worthless, you know, pushing wheelbarrows of money around for your payment for the day, you know, and even that has changed so quickly in certain governments around the world. I don't want to give this message and that you would get the idea that having money and having investments is a bad thing. It's not. It's not. It just simply is not. Abraham, we see these men in the Bible, Abraham and Job, Lot, that were incredibly wealthy. You know, they had investments in livestock and investments in land, and it's not wrong to have those investments. The Bible nowhere condemns wealth. And I'll give these two conditions, that it's not gained wrong, that you come by it honestly, and that you use it properly. So, of course, money is used, it's a tool, but it's not where we put our treasure at. We'll take a look at Matthew 25, because Christ does tell us how we should view money. So Matthew 25 and verse 24, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. We live in this world and we still have to be using this tool, using money in a proper way. And Christ tells us that here in this example. We still have to, we still can and should use money properly. So let's take a look at Luke. Having explained that, I don't want to forget that or saying that money is evil. It's the love of money is the root of all evil, as it says. But let's take a look at Luke, the 12th chapter, Luke 12. Luke 12 and verse 13, it says, "Then one from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.'" So here's this individual who wants Christ to get involved in this discussion that he's having with his brother. And many families have dealt with this, and many families have been split over this because the trouble that comes from inheritance and from people getting entangled in inheritance and having to deal with inheritances and whether or not they're split equitably or whether or not they're stolen, it's a huge problem. And this individual is telling Christ, look, please intervene on my behalf. But what does Christ say? That's verse 13. Let's look at how Christ handles this. In verse 14, "But he said to him, 'Man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you?'" He's basically gone, "I'm not going to get involved in your dispute." And in verse 15, he does tell us quite a bit about the way the world deals with money and how Christ expects us to deal with that. In verse 15, "And he said to them," Christ continuing speaking here, he says to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, verse 16, continuing, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What should I do since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" And that's what happens. We provide a great deal for ourselves and we lose track, thinking that that inheritance or that wealth is going to provide for us. And it won't. It may in the short term, but it won't in the long term. Let's go back to verse 20. "But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be requested of you. Then whose will these things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" And that's the way we need to be. We need to be rich towards God. We need to be placing our emphasis in God. It's not wrong to be wealthy. It is wrong to spend all of your time setting up a fortress so that you're insulated from disaster. The only fortress that can insulate yourself from disaster is God. And having that relationship with God and being close to God is where this individual and where we can fall into folly, is by trying to store that up and protecting ourselves when really the only true insulation from that is in God, trusting and relying in God. In verse 22, Christ goes on and he continues to explain the way that we should approach setting up a treasure here on earth and how we should look at this. In verse 22, "Then he said to his disciples, 'Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barns, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds?'" And verse 25, "And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest?" And I talked about being anxious. That anxiety that comes from opening up a portfolio that has done terribly, that has lost 20, 30%, it is anxiety inducing. And certainly, you know, having these things stored up, having these things that we put all of our effort, all of our time, and all of our energy in to protect us, they will always lose. They have in the past, and we have a record of that. We also have what happened just here in the last couple months. And we know that times that are coming ahead will be even worse than what we've seen. Verse 27, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these." In verse 28, then if God so clothed the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Having all of our protection tied up in this world, God says that we are of little faith, that we're foolish. Verse 29, continuing in verse 29, and do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father, he knows that you need these things. And here's the crux of it, the Christian treasure, where we should place that treasure. In verse 31, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things should be added to you. That's the crux of where our treasure should be. We must seek first the kingdom of God. Verse 34, this also warns us here in verse 34, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So when we place all of our energy, our time, and an earthly treasure, that's where our heart is at. That's where that treasure is at. And that is not an investment that will last. It's not the investment that will last. So how does an investment work? How does an investment in God's kingdom work? Well, just like a normal investment, you can buy shares in a company that those shares purchased that you're purchasing for dollars. That company uses that money to buy equipment, material, labor, which is then turned into a product, and a product sell. You sell that product, and then a short time passes, and then you sell that share and you take your profits. And that's typically how it's done in the world's investing. We do the same thing when we invest in the kingdom of God in a very similar way. We support the work through tithes and offerings, and we are literally laying up treasure in heaven. I want to take a look at how we literally do that. Matthew 6 and verse 20, it says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. He's saying this treasure that you're laying up is more secure than all the gold in Fort Knox, if there's any gold in Fort Knox anymore. but the saying goes that this secure place to store gold, well, God is telling us, Christ is telling us the same thing here, that the treasure that we lay up in heaven is more secure than any other investment, certainly any investment that man could ever give. And that is literally what we should be doing, is laying up treasure in heaven through tithes and offerings and supporting the work through prayer and other means. Christ promised to richly reward those that help lay the groundwork for his kingdom on earth through tithes, through offerings, through prayers, and through overcoming their human nature, our human nature, so that we can rule, that we could be part of that kingdom when it returns to this earth, that we would be there to rule. Let's take a look at 1 Peter 1 and verse 4. 1 Peter 1 and verse 4. So still speaking about this treasure that we have built up in heaven in verse 4, it says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that those that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So I have a treasure laid up in heaven. I believe that. I have no doubt about that. You should believe that, and you should know that, and you should remember that and keep that in mind. When you're paying your tithes, when you're paying your offering, when you're kneeling before God, that is what we're doing. We're building up treasure in heaven. And we have verses that promise that and tell us that. And we should not doubt that. We should have a firm belief and a firm knowledge in that. One more here. Luke 16. But let's take a look at Luke 16 and verse 12. Luke 16 and verse 12. It says, and if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? It's your own. This treasure is yours. It's your own treasure, right? So we need to be thinking about that. We need to keep that on the forefront of our mind. This is not some intangible thing that is thought up in the mind of man. No, this is words from God giving us his plan, his purpose, his playbook to let us know that this investment is secure, that it's promised to us, and that it is ours, that there is some place in heaven where this investment is making a return. You know, there are many times where we have heard over the past, and hopefully have not said too often, but there are times where, say, could have been so much more. Like the one individual saying, well, if you didn't pay all these tithes, you could have a pretty big portfolio. You would, if you were committed to putting 10% every paycheck, putting that 10% into a portfolio when you retired, I mean, you could potentially have millions of dollars, right? And saying, look what you're giving up. Look what you're giving up. Well, we see an example of that, and we'll take a look at that and see what Christ's response was. And Mark 10, it's Peter actually speaking here. In Mark 10 and verse 28, then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you, right? He's saying, look, I gave all of this up. I agreed not to work on the Sabbath, on the holy days, and I've given that up. And we've heard these things, right? You've heard people say these things, or maybe we've even thought them. I've given up my tithes and I've given up offerings and I've given them to the church. And what is Christ's response here? Peter saying, look at all that we've sacrificed. Look at everything that we've given up here and that we've sacrificed to follow you. And Jesus in verse 29, so Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold. A promise. If you give up those things, there is 100-fold return on investment. I'd make a bet on that. I'd definitely be putting money away in that. Christ is telling us here that that investment is secure, that we will get 100-fold return on what we give up. And we give up so little. What God is giving us here is a playbook, if you will, his playbook to show us how to live a happy and productive life. Look at Malachi 3 and verse 10. I continually go back to this one. I think I mention it quite often. It may be one of the most often repeated verses that I go to, but Malachi 3 verse 10 says, he would open the windows of heaven and that you would not have enough room to receive the blessing. That's how greatly he will bless you. 100-fold on that loss. So pretty wonderful, pretty awesome and great blessing. But it's more than just physical material blessings. We certainly have that. What cash value would you put on healing? What cash value would you put on peace of mind? What cash value would you put on having purpose in your life? What would you give for that? There's no way of putting a cash value on it. And when I was talking in the beginning about what you would give your kids, I think this comes to mind. And if your kids don't have that now, I know that they will. That investment will be made available to them. And if not right now, it will eventually be. But there could be no better blessing to have a life for my kids the same way that God made it available to me, that I could live a life free from anxiety, free from the stress of seeing huge losses and worry and doubt and all of those things that come along with living a life that doesn't have God in it, right? You don't have that purpose that comes from living God's way of life. Let's take a look at Matthew 13. Over to Matthew 13. So we talk about what kind of value would you place on that, right? What kind of value would you give to that? Well, here's what we can turn to look at what kind of value it has and how we should treat this calling and the investment that we're making. Matthew 13 and verse 45, it says that, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. We're the merchants. This way of life and this investment that we have in heaven is that pearl. We should be willing to give everything for it. There is no cash value on it. You can't place a cash value on the wonderful blessing that we have here. You know, over the years, we've seen many people that have times when companies are going under or when they're struggling and they have a shareholder meeting, the shareholders are almost looked at as though they're the enemy, right? I mean, these are people that have invested their money and then the company is trying to work a fast one to limit the payoff and they are struggling to stay afloat and the shareholder becomes the adversary. That is not the way God looks at us as shareholders in his kingdom and this treasure that we have stored up in heaven. No, we have a God that cares about us, that watches over us, that wants the best for us and will provide for us. You know, I don't think any of us are destitute. You know, I certainly, even with the monetary loss that I've taken in my portfolio and my deferred comp, it's nothing. And I don't count it as much, right? God can turn that around. And I've seen that time and time again. It does not cause me anxiety. It's not something that I will stay up worrying about night after night, but it is something that for me to know, to look at and to say, look, I am not invested in that. I'm not trying to stay invested in that. I'm trying to keep my focus on where my true investment is at. None of us are struggling to find food for our next meal. And to the world, this looks like a terrible investment where we're putting our time and our energy, our money, our tithes, our offerings. It looks like a terrible investment. With the terrible things ahead that will come to this world, this investment will, I promise you, God promises us that it will begin to show its true value. And I mean, even that is so understated. That investment will be so sought after and so important, and people will that have missed out on it will be weeping, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth because of it, because they have lost out on such a wonderful opportunity to invest. Wonderful opportunity to invest. He will take care of you, and he has promised to take care of you. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Go back to Matthew 6 and verse 33. If we are seeking after this treasure, if we're doing that, it says in verse 33 of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Right? We're supposed to be obeying and seeking the kingdom first. That is our first priority. And God promises for those that obey that he will take care of those. He will take care of you. And if you have been blessed with some great assets, great portfolio, give thanks. If you have a great stock portfolio, if you have a house or multiple houses, if you have a business that's thriving, if you have a savings account with enormous cash flow in it, give thanks. Give thanks. But if you don't, give thanks. Because that is nice, but it's not what our first priority. It's not what we're after. It's not what we're trying to achieve. These are nice to have. Nice for the present, and it is our investment that in heaven that will never let you down. It'll never let you down because all these things can go the other way. We could lose out on stock portfolios or our houses or businesses. We could lose money in all of these ways. But in the end, it isn't where our first priority is at. Apologize for that. The phone going off. I have my two technicians on it, so Allison and or Melanie, that it cannot be stolen away. It is reserved for you. As we read those first scriptures that we read through, that investment is there. It is protected. It is secure. Our first investment is that investment in heaven. And that will never let us down. We'll never have losses like you do here in man's schemes and money and assets. It is reserved for you. This investment in heaven is reserved for you, as we read earlier and the scriptures as we read earlier. If we're doing our part, they are steadily increasing in value. We may have seen losses in our physical assets. You know, I think most of us have, right? We've seen those losses in over the last couple months. But our treasure in heaven has not seen that kind of loss. if we've been doing what we're supposed to be doing, if we've been paying our tithes, if we've been paying offerings, if we've been obeying God, if we have been drawing close to Him in prayer and study, if we have been continuing doing what we are required to do to seek first the kingdom of God, to grow and to overcome, and this is our primary goal, then that blessing, that investment is still there. That investment is still there and still in great shape. So as we close, we'll go back to remind us in Matthew 6 and verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.